Turn to the book of Psalm 119. There's only a couple of verses in there, so we'll just touch on every verse in Psalm 119, and then we'll go to the house and have some seafood or pork and sauerkraut, whatever you're going to have today. I don't know what you're going to have, but we'll just look at a couple of verses here. Let me just say thank you to everyone that came out Friday night. We had a wonderful time here at the church and heard some great preaching by some of God's choicest men here at Sharon Baptist Church, and we went away literally full spiritually, amen. And then we went over to the pastor's house, and we had a wonderful time of good fellowship there. And we went away physically full from all the food Miss Diana prepared for everyone. What a great time it was, and what a good blessing it was. And so I trust that as we continue to have those year after year, that you'll become a part of that as well. Some of the best preaching that we get is on that night, amen. And it's just kind of like, I don't know what it is. There's no pressure, and just get up and preach, and I'm thankful for that. Brother Spencer said, yeah, I just wanted to keep a little bit light. I said, brother, it might have been light, and there was some jovial times in there, but you hammered down, brother, amen. And so I appreciate that, amen. And Pastor James, of course, closed us out, and Brother Jonathan lost his notes and dumped them, and he spoke from his heart, and sometimes that's the best we need to do, amen. Just preach from our heart, amen. And so I'm thankful to you that came out to that. Look forward to having you. Please come help us on Saturday. We have a bus prayer at 9:30. We have that usually on the first Sunday, but Saturday of the month, but we rotate it depending on the schedule. And so this tree, you know, is beautiful, but it takes literally hours to put it up and hours to take it down. And so there's a lot of things that we have to, you know, put away and clean up. And so come be a part of that come for the cleanup, but then also come for the prayer time, and that'd be a real blessing as well. As we thought about this day, as we rolled into the new year, into 2023, you know, there's a lot of things you could preach on: the past, the present, the future. Pastor James talked about today, now was the time, and I don't know if that was that live streamed. Was that on live stream? You need to go back and listen to all three of those messages, particularly that one. And as Pastor James was telling me about his outline, I said, brother, that's. That's funny that you're going to preach that, because just the other day, as I was working on some spiritual goals and some physical goals and goals for those I have relationships with, I began to think about those goals. I began to write them down, you know. So when do you do New Year's resolutions or life-changing goals? You start them on January the 1st, right? And so I'm thinking, as I did it, okay, Sunday's coming. Boy, we'll just get up and we'll just be a new person, you know. We'll just do what we're supposed to do, right? And then that was about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, I started writing those goals for this year. And all of a sudden, during one of my times of meditating upon God's word brought to my heart, he said, why are you waiting until January 1st? Why do you always wait till Monday to start a diet? Why are you always going to mow the grass on, you know, next Friday? Mow it this Friday. Start it today. Get a head start on it. And I said, well, glory to God, I guess I'm going to get a head start. And then Pastor James brought that message, and I thought just how really God just works together and knits my heart and his heart together as well. So we're thankful for that. So as we think about this new year, I just have seven quick things I'm going to give you, then you can go to the house, amen. So I want you to flip over your bulletin, flip it over to the back, get a pen out. I want you to write these seven things down. They're only like three words to each 7 points, because I think it would be pertinent for you to have these as you go into the new year. There's also some scripture verses, and you can maybe want to jot those down, but at least jot these 7 points down. And I don't always ask you to do that. I trust that you do, but I think it's pertinent for you to do that this day. So as we think about this thought of having resolve for the new year, you know, all of us should have resolve for the new year in 2023. As I read out my tithe check this morning, I thought, boy, this is the first thing that I'm doing with my finances this year, is giving my tithe and my grace giving and my building fund to the Lord. Amen. I mean, I didn't pay cable. I didn't pay my mortgage payment. I'm going to pay them when I get home. But listen, I gave my tithe to the Lord. Amen. And I don't, maybe that doesn't excite you, but I got excited about that. I got excited. The first person I'm giving money to this year is the Lord. Amen. So maybe you'll get excited about that too. But anyhow, we ought to have some resolve for this new year in 2023. That word resolve can be defined as coming to a determination. It also could mean making up one's mind. I've always said this, that if you don't aim at a target, you're never going to hit that target, amen. I was showing off one of my pistols on Friday night to someone, and it has a red laser dot on it, and it's pretty nifty. I mean, you just pull it out of your holster, hit that red laser dot. You don't even really have to aim it. You just do it like this, and where the red dot stops, that's where the bullet's going to go. And it's for people like me that can't see. You'll be doing like this, and you're dead before you even get a shot off. Listen, I'm simply saying this, is that if you don't aim at something, you're never going to hit something. And I think New Year's goals, New Year's resolutions, life-changing plans ought to be in every Christian's life, both for the physical and also for the spiritual and in relationship as well. New Year's resolutions are the result of resolved of the part of someone. I had a resolve to make some New Year's resolutions, and so I did that. Regard resolve, the psalmist David expressed many of his words with these words. His resolve was simply this: I will. And we'll find here in Psalm 119, we're going to take a look at very quickly seven I wills of the psalmist David as he works to resolve to do some things for the Lord. This psalm, Psalm 119, actually has 176 verses, and it is the longest chapter in all the Bible, and there are 18 of these I will statements found in this psalm. Throughout the Bible, there is 1,535 verses with these I will statements, either concerning the person writing it or God himself saying those. I think one of the most precious of these I will statements is found in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, where the Bible says this: let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, this is God speaking, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But then we find these words, because God has said, I will never leave nor forsake you, that we may say boldly, that's you and I, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do. You see, God said, I will be with you and not forsake you. And because of that, man can say, you and I can say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do to me. Well, let's stand this morning as we give respect to the reading of God's word. And we're going to be reading Psalm 119, verse number 1, down through verse number 8. And we're going to concentrate on verse number 7 this morning. Notice what the Bible said beginning in Psalm 119, beginning in verse number 1. Notice the Bible said, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimony, and they that seek him with their whole heart. They also do not iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I have respect unto all the commandments. Notice verse number 7. I will praise thee with uprightness of mine heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. And he concludes with verse 8, I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as I bow before you this morning, Father, I'm so thankful for the preciousness of your word. I'm thankful for the truths that are given to us found in this Psalm 119. So, Father, as we very quickly this morning look at these seven I wills of the psalmist David, as he really resolves to do some things for you, God, I pray that you and I would have this same resolve in our life this coming year of 2023. So, Lord, we pray that you'll speak to the heart of someone who could be here this morning, doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I pray, Father, before it's eternally too late, they might repent of their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then, Father, for the Christians, as David resolves, Father, I pray that we'll covenant to resolve as well. And, Father, we'll draw these truths from your word, apply them to our heart and life today, that we might to be made more like Jesus in this coming new year. So, Lord, we love you, we thank you, we seek to honor you this morning. So it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. So notice, first of all, to look in your Bible to Psalm 119 and verse number 7. Psalm 119 and verse number 7. Notice, first of all, I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Notice what David said. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall learn thy righteous judgment. So instead of grumbling over what we don't have, we should rejoice over what the Lord has already given us materially, spiritually, and physically. You know, if we're not careful, we'll look back at 2022 and we'll say, what a miserable year that was. My car broke down, the engine and transmission had to be replaced. I need a new roof on my house. And boy, the children were sick and the grandchildren got kicked out of kindergarten from biting somebody. And we could just say we had a terrible, terrible year. I think the psalmist doesn't have that kind of attitude. I don't think you and I ought to have that attitude. We ought to say this: thank God that we did have a car that could take us to work and take us to church. Thank God we did have a house, albeit that needed a roof. Thank God that my children are living for God, and I have a bunch of wonderful grandchildren that I can love and nurture and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So I think that we ought to rejoice over what he's given us materially, physically, and spiritually. And oftentimes we look out and we rejoice in the materialistic things of this world. But understand this, that I think the greater rejoicing ought to be what God did in our heart in 2022, and that is spiritually. How did you grow in 2022? I can look out at your pastor and I can see how God has really worked in your hearts and lives over this past year in 2022. Some of you have really begun to spiritually mature in the Lord. Oh, you haven't arrived yet, but neither have I. But listen, we're not going to arrive till we get to heaven, but that doesn't mean we need to not stop growing spiritually mature in the Lord. And then we ought to be thankful for physically what God has done for us. Listen, we're here in church today, amen. There's some of us who aren't here today. Thank God for that. There's some really that out in this world that have cancer. There's some that are sick and some that have COVID and some have, you know, other diseases. Thank God, listen, that you can live and breathe and get up and come and worship God. I think Jesus gives us gladness rather than sadness. And oftentimes we do this, and we sit soaking sour in the things that we perceive that God's not doing in our life. We miss the blessings that God has given us. He gives us glory rather than gloom. And too many times we're down in our spirit and we're depressed. And my friend, that's not the way we ought to be. David, the psalmist, said, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. You see, praising the Lord for his goodness comforts our heart and shows the world simply this, that we have the peace of God that lives and dwells inside of our heart. I don't know about you. I don't want to project some kind of doom Christianity to a lost and dying world. Sure, we're going to have bad days. We're going to have trials that come into our life. But David said, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. And I think that if we are looking at moving into 2023, that we ought to have this kind of resolve that say, no matter what comes, I am going to rejoice. A pastor one time asked somebody, well, how you been doing lately? And the person said, well, Pastor, I can tell you the truth, but you probably don't really want to hear it, amen. And there is some truth to that, amen. Listen, be joyful. Say, thank God I got COVID the other day, and I won't have to get it again probably for another year or two. Thank God I went to the doctors and they prescribed me some medicine and I'm doing better now. Listen, let's rejoice in what God is doing in us. Then notice number two. Notice that I will reflect. I will reflect. Look at verse number 15. It's all going to be in Psalm 119. Look at verse 15. It says this, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Look down to Psalm verse number 48. The Bible says, my hands also will I lift up thy commandments, which I have loved. Notice that. He loved the commandments. They weren't burdensome to him. They weren't grievous to him. He said, I love thy commandments. And then notice what he said he's going to do, because his hands lifted up the commandment, the commandments that he loved. Notice what he said, I will meditate in thy statutes. Look down to verse number 78, please. Verse 78. He said, let the proud be ashamed, in verse 78. For they dwelt perversely with me without a cause. He said, but I will meditate in thy precepts. So three times here in this psalm, we have the psalmist David saying that he's going to meditate and have respect unto his ways. He's going to lift up the commandments and meditate upon the statutes, really the laws and the commandments. And 78, he says this, I will meditate again upon thy precepts. When we think about that word meditate, we normally think of this. This word means to muse. It means to ponder. It means to study. It means to consider. It also means this, to put forth the thoughts that you pondered, that you studied, that you mused about. And my friend, I think we have this backwards here in our Christian life, that I've been guilty of this for so many years. I'm saying that the cornerstone of our Christian faith is our prayer, our communication with God, and then Him communicating with us as we read God's Word. And how true that statement is true. But it's not about the reading of God's Word. Listen, I read a lot of things that don't really mean a bunch of nothing to me, amen? I can read God's Word, and it cannot really mean a bunch of nothing to me. It's not about the reading of God's Word. It's about the meditating upon God's Word. And as far as I can tell, we're never commanded to read God's Word, although I think we should read it. We are commanded to meditate upon it. You see, we can't meditate upon something unless we read it thoughtfully, we study it, we ponder it, and we muse over it and consider it, and then put forth the thoughts that God has for you and I. Psalm 78 says, let the proud be ashamed, for they dwelt perversely with me without cause. But he said, notice this one more time, I will meditate in thy precepts. So basically, the psalmist David is saying this. He said, listen, people are accusing me unjustly. They're attacking me unjustly. But even in spite of that, he said, I am still going to meditate upon those words. All three of those references that we've read in Psalm 119 speak about this idea of meditating. And he deals with the source of our meditation. As I said before, I meditate and think about a lot of things, but that's not where our source of our meditation should come from. The Bible says that it is the Word of God. David said he meditated on the laws. He meditated on the commandments. He meditated on the Word. And I believe today that more people today spend more time watching TikTok videos, scrolling through Facebook or Instagram, and generally just browsing the internet than they do reading and meditating upon the Word of God. You know what? All we need to do is just, if you have an Apple iPhone, I encourage you to do this. There's a little section on our Apple iPhone that would tell you every Sunday how long, an average, a day you've been on your phone. Now listen, if you're just on your phone talking to someone, that doesn't calculate minutes. What calculates the minutes is when you're on Facebook, Instagram, websites, other places like that. I encourage you to make sure that's turned on and look and see how long last week you've been on your phone. I'll tell you right now, I saw mine today, and I'm ashamed to say it. 1 hour and 25 minutes I was on my phone through the whole week. Granted, it was a holiday, and I probably spent more time on it than anybody else, but thank God for that. But this is what really got me. It said this, that my watching of my phone was 44% less this week than it was the week before. And I thought an hour and 25 minutes was a lot. Add in 44 more percent, and I'm not a mathematician, I can't figure that out, but I do know it's a lot. And so I began to really think about this. The Word of God is going to give you more than TV, more than Instagram, more than Facebook, more than TV, more than the podcast that you listen to. And those things are not necessarily wrong. But it's when you don't spend time in God's Word, meditating upon the Word, that's when it begins to be wrong. think of just how the Lord has really helped us. It was in the pages of God's Word that I learned that I needed to be saved. It wasn't in Instagram. It wasn't on Facebook. And I know that there's some Christian things that they can say. I'm not against those. But listen, it was in the pages of God's Word where I understood that I needed to be saved. It was in the pages of God's Word where I find security and serenity inside the Word of God, not on Facebook, not on TV, not on my radio. And we'll find that we spend so much more time doing other things than reading our Bible. Understand this, though. When you read it, you need to meditate upon it. Number three, I will remember. The psalmist David said, I will remember. Look at Psalm 119, verse number 16. Notice he says in verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Boy, I thought about that. And how God just brought conviction upon this pastor. How many times do I read something and it's just in one ear and out the other? And why is that? Well, because I don't meditate upon it. That word delight, it means to smear over. It means to be blinded by. So literally, David saying that I smear myself, I cover myself with the Word of God. And so much so that I'm blinded to everything else this world has to offer. I wonder how many of us could say that. Are you smeared over with the Word of God? Are you blinded because of so much meditation and reading of God's Word? You're blinded to the evil in this world. Look at verse 93 of Psalm 119. The Bible said, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. The psalmist says, listen, your word makes me alive. And David makes up his mind that he will not ever forget the word of God because it has been a source of life that's been given to him. And the truth is something is simply this. We hear first and then we believe. Too many times we get it backwards. We believe and then we hear the truth. But the way it should go, according to the Bible and Romans 10 and verse number 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we hear first, and then we believe. You see, delight prevents forgetfulness. When you delight in the word and delight in the commandments and delight in the Lord, guess what? You are not going to forget all his benefits, all that he's done for you during that past year. The mind's going to run on what the heart delights in. So think about that. The mind will run on what the heart delights in. And the heart is where our treasure is, according to the Lord in Matthew 6 and verse number 21. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart it will be also. And so understand this, that what your heart is made up of is what you're going to be thinking through. Well, the psalmist said, I will remember. He had some resolve. But then notice in verse number 32, we find this. We find his resolve where he basically says, I will run. Notice in Psalm 119, verse number 32, he says, I will run the way of my commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. So the sweet psalmist of Israel basically said this. He said, I will run the way of the commandments. And that expression really speaks about affection. It speaks about readiness to do what God would have him to do. Even given this idea of doing what God would have him to do with cheerfulness. And there should be nothing gloomy or sad about the commandments of God to the person who loves the Lord. Now listen, you could be in the deepest, darkest sin. And God's word, as you read it and meditate upon it, the Holy Spirit convicts your heart about it. There's no reason to be sad about that. There's no reason to be gloomy about that. We ought to be glad and say, I will run the way of the commandments. Well, we shouldn't just say this. I'm going to keep the commandments of God this year. I'm going to keep all the precepts, all the truths that God shows me today. We could express this better this way. I'm going to walk in them instead of I'm going to keep them. We should say this. I will hurry to keep them. That's what we ought to do. I'll devote all the energy of my life in 2023 to keeping the commandments, the precepts, the truths as given to you and I in God's word. The psalmist said, I will run the way of the commandments. Well, the psalmist David was pictured running toward God and running to his word. Guess what? Most Christians today won't even walk to keep the commandments. And if they are running, guess what? They're running in the opposite direction from God. They're running in the opposite direction from the word. The psalmist David said, I will run in the way of commandment. What a resolve that was. Notice in verse number 46. Verse number 46 of Psalm 119. Notice his resolve. He says, I will reveal. The Bible said, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. The truth of God so thrilled the psalmist David that he felt that he had to speak to others. It wasn't an option. He was compelled to speak to others and testify the character and kindness of God who protected him. So let's ask this million-dollar question this morning. What about you? When's the last time that you shared your testimony before the lost? When's the last time that you actually shared what happened to you to someone who was lost? Or maybe, when is the last time that you took someone through God's plan of salvation? It's probably been a long while, hasn't it? Listen, 2022's gone by the wayside. Let's improve for 20 and 23, and let's begin by sharing the testimonies. Notice what he said. He said, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings. So he's simply saying this, that, listen, I'm not just going to tell the common folk. I'm going to stand before kings. And he noticed this, and we can take heart in this fact. He said, and will not be ashamed. Now listen, you might be rebuked. You might be put down. You might be told even to be quiet and shut your mouth. But listen, you have nothing to be ashamed about if you do it in the right manner, because we have the truth that they need to hear. One pastor put it this way, in the presence of men of most elevated rank, I will not be ashamed to speak of my belief in thy word before those in power. It does not matter whether friendly or unfriendly to thee and thy cause. I will not disguise my belief in the truth with any desire to secure their favor. I will not be intimidated by expressing my faith by any dread of their frowns. So in other words, he said, whether they like me, whether they frown, whether they yell at me, no matter what they do, I am going to keep on giving the gospel. Notice sixthly in Psalm 119, verse 117, he gives another resolve. He said, I will rest. Notice the first part of that psalm of verse 117. He says, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. So notice David said, hold thou me up. In other words, he's saying, God, support me, sustain me. God, would you strengthen me? And then he said, well, if you'll do that, he said, I shall or will be safe. He said, I'll be delivered. I'll be saved. He said, I'll have it all taken care of. So the psalmist David expresses this confidence in God holding him up. And we knew that in those who love the word of God find themselves possessing great peace. If you love God's word and your heart meditates and reads God's word, guess what? You're going to be found possessing great peace, because the giver of peace will give it to you. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27 says this, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Here's the truth. When God is your refuge, you're standing underneath his everlasting arms. And as you stand underneath his everlasting arms, he is your protector and provider. He is your sustainer, and thank God, he is your Savior, and you can rest in the Lord. I think one of the best illustrations that could be found about resting in the Lord is this. A few months ago, three or four months ago, I saw Zach coming in the church, and he was carrying his daughter in his arms. And as far as I could tell, Julia wasn't worried about anything. She wasn't worried about being dropped. She wasn't worried, had no care upon her whatsoever. Why? Because her dad was holding her. Listen, my friend, it's no different than you and I. As we rest under his everlasting arms, we can be confident of this, that God is holding us up. Thank God for that. And because of that, I can and will rest in the Lord. Notice, lastly, the last part of verse 117. Notice the last resolve of David. He said, I will respect. Notice that verse again in verse 117. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. But notice the last part. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. And then with the Lord's help, David will continue respecting God's instruction, respecting God's wisdom, even amongst the greatest trials that David was going through. That word respect means to regard highly, think much of, to accept and to pay attention to. It also gives us this idea of gazing, of inspecting, and even considering, much like we do when we consider and meditate on God's word. Actual Hebrew word, se'ah, means to look at. And it's never a casual or a disinterested glance, but it's a careful, respectful glance. And so he said, God, you're going to hold me up, and I know I'm going to be safe. And he said, then I will have respect for you. I'm going to have a careful glance. I'm going to point my eyes to you and keep them only on you. Isaiah 17 and verse 7 says this. At that day shall a man look to his master, maker, and his eyes shall respect the Holy One of Israel. That's what the psalmist David was doing. He's saying, God, I'm going to resolve that I'm going to respect you for what you're doing for me. And God's support would allow this faithful psalmist to continue meditating upon God's word, both during his persecution times and times even when God delivered him and he had prosperity in his life and in his family's life. Well, as we close this morning, I challenge you today, as we are on the precipice of a new year, to have some resolve in your life and to follow these principles of I will that are found in Psalm 119. Remember, the psalmist said, I'm going to resolve to rejoice. I'm going to resolve to reflect. I'm going to resolve to remember, to run. I'm going to resolve to reveal and rest and have respect. This could be one of the most significant years this church has ever experienced as far as souls and baptisms and spiritual and numerical growth with inside the body. But it only will come with these 10 little words in English. If it is to be, it is up to me. If it is to be, it is up to me. I'm simply saying this. I'm not saying we're going to leave God out, but I'm simply saying it begins with you. God is interested in souls being saved. God desires people to be baptized. God wants to see spiritual growth and numerical growth with inside the body of Sharon Baptist Church. But if it is to be, it is up to me. You have to be willing. You have to resolve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we could meet here this morning, Father.